Did you know that Nephilim demons are busy impersonating higher ascended beings that take biblical truth and mix it with lies? I'm Dr. Fred, and you're listening to Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
What I always find fascinating whenever I read through another book written by someone who channels supposedly some great being from beyond, the great beyond, is the constant mix of biblical truths with replacement facts. Now, what I mean by that is that while these Nephilim demons are busy impersonating benevolent space trucking beings, they take biblical truth and modify it so that while the core of the truth, story, or parable continues to be present, many of the smaller details are changed so that they take on new meaning. However, since the core of the story remains the same, this fact may be completely either overlooked by the average individual or not questioned if these changes are not noticed, simply because so many people tend to view areas of Scripture allegorically anyway. This is, of course, nothing new at all, since the Reformed, Covenant, and Preterist approach to prophetic Scripture has always been to view things allegorically. Now, unfortunately, as I'm sure you're aware, this approach leaves little room for objectively understanding those parts of Scripture, since the individual determines the meaning subjectively. This is at least one reason why we have so many different interpretations out there related to the end times. There is little consistency because many take various parts of Scripture to mean something, yet are unable to adequately show how they arrive at that position. The same is true with Shapiro's book, and I mentioned her last time, Leah Shapiro. Though these are not stated to be her revelations, they are implied to be the revelations from the Pleiadians. And remember, you'll recall that she said that she finally realized one day that she was a Pleiadian herself. And a Pleiadian being a higher species of being from other planets or other galaxies. Now, because of that, the question which rises to the surface, at least from the New Age perspective, is why would the Pleiadians lie to us? And that's a good question. Actually, a far more important question is whether the so-called Pleiadians have done anything at all to prove their own identity. And the answer to that question is a resounding and unqualified no. That amazes me. Absolutely amazes me. However, you see what has happened here. The Pleiadians come from out of nowhere because they seem to possess an intrinsic and almost godlike knowledge of all things within our universe. Their identity would, of course, not be doubted at all. If their identity is never doubted, then why would anyone doubt the veracity of their message? You see, the Nephilim demons and fallen angels have successfully pulled the wool over the eyes of multitudes of people. That's my belief. They've actually done what is very difficult to do by getting human beings to believe that they are whom they say they are, Pleiadians, aliens, extraterrestrials. Because people believe that with little to no difficulty, believing what these beings tell them is accepted eagerly. It really goes hand in hand. And you know what's sad is that numerous evangelists, tele-evangelists, use the same trick. They're often very magnetic and their message is very compelling. And because they tend to speak with an air of authority, they are normally not questioned. When they are questioned, the individual doing the questioning is made to look like a lame brain, a numbskull, or a modern-day Pharisee. I remember years ago there were people, and unfortunately there still are, who touted the ways a person could become nearly instantly wealthy. In essence, it was done by subterfuge, sleight of hand, and outright lying. I remember reading parts of one book, and the one statement that stuck out in my mind was that if people want to be wealthy, they must act as if they are wealthy. It sounds simplistic and almost too easy. However, this is exactly what the proverbial con man does. There were easy ways to accomplish this, stating that the author of the book I was perusing. First, go out and get fake business cards made up. You know, just good ones that make you look like you're rich. Spend a bit of money on them and make them look nice, something that would impress the average individual. This was before cell phones, so it was even suggested that you hire an answering service, not a machine, but a live service to take your phone calls. Since only businesses did that at the time, it would be automatically assumed that you were a business. And if anyone to call to check up on you, there would be a real person to answer the phone, take your messages for you. you would be able to call at any time and get your messages. Now, another way to look wealthy was by renting an expensive car from time to time and driving it to events where the press would be. This might even include crashing a party, but of course acting as if you belong there and becoming extremely indignant when you discover that your name was left off the list. This incident might even wind up in the society page of the local newspaper. Well, the whole point of all this was to look or come across as already being wealthy. This would work in your favor because soon other real wealthy people would take notice of you and begin to bring you into their inner circle. Now, as I continued to read that book, I had to laugh because depending upon how you looked at it, the author was telling you literally to become a con artist, or I guess another way to put it was to become an actor. In either case, though, you would be presenting a lie to people. And depending upon how good of an actor you were, they would either believe you or not. We've all seen movies in which professional con artists are able to circumvent the authorities all because they know people very well and they are excellent actors. That's the most important part of any con from what I've ever read. The TV show Mission Impossible based every scenario on this belief. It was a great show that kept you on the edge of your seat because there was always the inevitable potential of being caught. No one ever was, and if that could happen, there was always Plan B. Now, one of my favorite episodes starred William Shatner. His character, Thomas Kroll, was one of the murderers that had killed someone in 1937, but the IMF team literally took him back in time. They had to get a confession from him. They had to have him reenact what happened. So they recreated his old neighborhood, temporarily got rid of the limp he had developed over the years, and made him believe that he was still living in that period of time, 1937. It was fascinating the way they made it happen. Now, of course, by the end of the hour, just minutes prior to the end of that episode, Shatner's character's life began to unravel before him. His limp came back, things started to fall apart, and by the time he fully realized what was happening, he had already given IMF the secrets they needed to know, the location of the body of the person he had helped kill. All of this espionage works because of the quality of the acting. The more believable the presentation, the more believable the message. This is what Nephilim demons and fallen angels know about humanity. They know that we're gullible, and because we do not have all the facts, we can be conned. The Bible only gives slight glimpses behind that curtain into the spiritual realm. We just don't have all the facts. It's so easy to see just in the few chapters of Leo Shapiro's book that I talked about last time. She believes that she actually traveled the layers of the universe and saw and experienced marvelous sights. Yet we see little to nothing of what the Bible tells us actually exists in our universe, and we will get to that in a bit. Now, if you travel back to the music of the 1960s and 70s, aside from what has already been discussed, it's easy to find songs that have a decidedly ethereal quality to them. It's not necessarily referring to the music itself, although that certainly existed in the 70s and later. Rock bands like Led Zeppelin hit the charts with songs that made us go, I wonder what that really means. Their tune Stairway to Heaven was a staple once it was released to the world via a live performance in 1971. By 1973, the song had grown in popularity throughout the world and was understood to be otherworldly. In fact, Robert Plant, the band's lead vocalist and lyricist, credits what he had been reading at the time, and the books written by James Lewis Thomas Comber Spence were highly occultic due to Spence's own interests and ideology. Songs like Stairway to Heaven and others were an outgrowth of the early movement prior to the New Age movement, which essentially grew out of the hippie movement. Even the rock group Three Dog Night had its share of peculiar hits like Shambhala. That word refers to the hidden mythical kingdom by the same name from Tibetan literature, and it relies heavily on Eastern mysticism. Who would have thought? I liked it because it had a beat and you could dance to it. And the Bible never attempts to prove the existence of God, the true God of the universe. It just simply doesn't try to prove it. The Bible simply assumes his existence from page one. Shapiro's book simply does what the Bible does in this regard. This is what the Pleiadians and every other space alien group does, taking their cue from Scripture. They don't spend time trying to prove their existence. and that they are who they say they are, but they simply present themselves as if we would be morons not to accept their existence as they presented. Now, the very fact that they are talking about human beings and talking with human beings proves that they exist. However, it does not prove that they are Pleiadians. It doesn't prove that they have good intentions. That is simply taken for granted by human beings. The major difference, of course, between the Bible and the Pleiadians is the way in which people view them. For most, the Bible is an old, out-of-date, antiquated book written by a bunch of men. It is allegedly filled with all types of contradictions, and because of those alleged contradictions, it can't be trusted, nor is it trustworthy. And by the same token, the God of the Bible is viewed much the same as the Bible that he wrote. He has not proven his existence to most, at least to their satisfaction, as if the God of the universe must ask, well, how high, when a human being says jump? Yet while no such courtesy extends to the God of the universe that he created everything that has been created, this courtesy is readily extended to the visitors who claim to be from outer space. They are generally never doubted because of the way they present themselves and the manner in which they communicate to humans. While God is fully open to our turning to him, these other beings pretend that it is only those who seek within that will find the higher knowledge that humanity supposedly seeks. The human being must simply be open to receiving the message of the Pleiadians and other higher ascended beings, because they simply cannot force their message on people. God, on the other hand, supposedly forced his message onto people through the life of the very precious God, the Son. And because God did these things out in the open, he lived among us, he worked among us, he died among us, and he rose from the dead among us, his word means nothing. To most people, he is doubted, vilified, impugned, cursed, hated, and reviled. And so are those people who follow him. Interesting, isn't it? The very God who loves us, gave his life for us, did it publicly. He is rejected. These beings who come in secret and give us nothing except platitudes and intelligent-sounding religious dialogue are accepted with open arms. Go figure. Such is the deceptive illusion introduced by beings from the realms of the spirit and foisted upon naive human beings. You know, the Pleiadians told Shapiro that humans are not in any way connected to the monkey or the ape. Isn't that interesting? While these beings have no problem discounting the results of scientific working hypotheses, they also have no problem instantly elevating man to the level of deity. The Pleiadians also reflect some of the same narrative that has been out there from other spiritual entities. We were engineered through genetics, they tell us, though our true purposes have been hidden deep within the recesses of our cellular makeup. It is latently there and waits to be revealed. They like to call this the divine engineering. How quaint, right? At every turn, Pleiadians attempt to remove a personal God from the equation, preferring instead to hand the reins of deity to man himself. And what does that remind you of? That went and goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Satan tempted Eve and then Adam to eat of the forbidden fruit so that their eyes would be open and so that they would be like gods. You know, the lie continues to this day. It's just the manner of presentation that has changed. Well, we're going to continue to talk about this more in our next show. We've got a number of shows to do yet on Nephilim Nightmare. I hope you've been enjoying these shows, and I hope you've gained something from them. In the meantime, until we meet again, I pray that God will open your eyes to show you how blessed you really are. Thanks for joining me. Hi, this is Dr. Fred of Study Grow Know. All of my books are available as free downloadable PDFs, but if you'd like a hard copy of one of my most recent books, Under Grace, simply request your copy by sending any donation amount to us at Study Grow Know, P.O. Box 1592, Hampton, Georgia 30228. That's P.O. Box 1592, Hampton, Georgia 30228. Your donations help keep Study Grow Know on the air and expanding into other venues. Thank you.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.